This is the Aspen Public Radio newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett, here with your top stories this Thursday. Land use advocates are pushing back against a new proposal to allow e-bikes on popular mountain bike areas. That includes Red Hill, Prince Creek, and Newcastle. Aspen Public Radio's Michael Finelli has more on the proposition.
Pitkin, Eagle, and Garfield counties are home to 220 miles of mountain biking trails that sit on Bureau of Land Management land. Currently, e-bikes are only allowed on 18 of those miles at the Grand Hogback system north of Rifle. This week's BLM proposal would expand e-bike access to the rest. But local land use advocates say that's a bad idea. Julie Slifka works for Wilderness Workshop.
We're not opposed to e-bikes, but this far-reaching proposal threatens wildlife and natural systems and disregards decades of collaborative efforts to designate quality non-motorized trail opportunities across Western Slope communities.
The nonprofit is dedicated to protecting public lands across Western Colorado. Slifka says the BLM should take a more focused approach and consider opening trails on a case-by-case basis. Slifka and her team recognize the climate benefits e-bikes offer when replacing gas-powered cars, but they say they can harm ecosystems by going faster and further than non-motorized bikes. For Aspen Public Radio News, I'm Michael Finelli.
Public comment for the proposal is now open on the BLM website through March 25th. Aspen City Council delayed a decision Tuesday on a controversial proposal to build 60 housing units at the Aspen Meadows campus for the Aspen Institute, Aspen Music Festival and School, and Aspen Center for Physics. Supporters say the project would provide critical workforce housing, while West End residents warn it could worsen traffic and parking problems. Council members voiced concerns about parking, transportation impacts, and housing classifications, and will revisit the proposal at a future meeting. In statewide news, the U.S. Supreme Court agreed earlier this week to hear a challenge to a Boulder climate lawsuit. CPR's Ishan Takor has more.
In 2018, Boulder sued ExxonMobil and Suncor Energy for their alleged role in causing climate disasters. The lawsuit said that the company should help Boulder pay for and prepare for the increasing toll of wildfires, floods, and more. Last year, the Colorado Supreme Court paved the way for the case to go to trial, but the U.S. Supreme Court is now reviewing that decision. At stake is whether cities and states can even sue fossil fuel companies for damages related to climate change. Michael Gerard directs the Sabin Center for Climate Change Law at Columbia University.
Well, it's potentially very significant because it could lead to a definitive ruling from the Supreme Court on whether the fossil fuel companies might be liable.
Oral arguments in the case are expected in the fall. I'm Ishan Takor, CPR News.
The Colorado Senate advanced a bill that would make legal records of children who request name changes private. For the Colorado Capital News Alliance, Kyle McKinnon reports.
The bill's Democratic sponsors say the policy is necessary to protect the privacy of transgender kids and their families. Senator Katie Wallace also says it's important for children who change their names for other reasons, like adoption or cultural and religious practices.
All of these different reasons are reasons that children might change their names. No reason to make that public record where it could be accessed by any type of AI data scraping or, just general public interest.
An earlier version of the bill would have directed family court judges to consider whether a parent accepts their child's gender identity when determining parenting time. But sponsors removed that provision in response to pushback from Governor Polis. It now moves to the House for further consideration.
That was Kyle McKinnon reporting for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. The Colorado Senate has approved a bill that would allow people to sue immigration officers in state court for constitutional rights violations. Lucas Brady Woods reports for the Colorado Capital News Alliance that it's part of Democrats' efforts to protect against what they see as federal overreach.
During debate on the Senate floor, the bill's sponsors cited recent violence in Minneapolis, where federal agents shot and killed two American citizens. Senator Mike Weissman of Aurora says the bill would give Coloradans a way to hold officers accountable.
There was talk up here of lawsuits and lawyers. Yeah. Yeah, this is a bill to let people, if their rights are violated, file a lawsuit, because that's how you enforce your rights in this country.
Republicans oppose the bill, with some defending immigration officers. It passed the Senate along party lines and now moves to the House. Lawmakers are also considering bills that would set new rules for how immigration authorities operate in Colorado and how local law enforcement works with them.
That was Lucas Brady Woods for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. And in regional news, public lands and environmental advocates, as well as outdoor recreationists, have opposed the nomination of New Mexico's Steve Pierce to head the Bureau of Land Management. Senators brought the concerns about energy development and public lands to the forefront during his confirmation hearing. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yanis has more.
Pierce owned an oil field services company in New Mexico before he was elected to Congress. In 2012, he wrote a letter to congressional leadership supporting the sale of public lands to reduce the deficit, writing that most of the BLM land in the West is land, quote, we do not even need. Senators on the Energy and Natural Resources Committee questioned Pierce on those statements, asking if he still believed them. Pierce said that at the time, he represented a district that was frustrated with how federal lands were managed.
Local people pay the price. It cost them jobs, it cost them their careers, cost them their land. And so I spoke of those frustrations, but I don't visualize selling large swaths of land.
But when asked for his current personal opinions on a sell-off, Pierce did not provide a clear answer, instead saying that the law prohibits very large sales of public lands. Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
The committee will vote on whether to advance Pierce's nomination to the full Senate. Using a massive data set, researchers are developing tools to help them predict when and where wildfires are most likely to start. The Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse reports.
Researchers looked at 500,000 wildfire starts and hundreds of attributes about them. Beyond the obvious weather variables like wind speed, temperature, and humidity, they also considered human factors like density of development. Yavar Per Mohammed is a researcher with Boise State University's Civil Engineering Department and lead author of a recent paper on the prediction model. He says that the breadth and depth of data points is part of what sets the research apart.
If you are an authority and you have a limited resources, you want to know where you shouldn't send your resources and where you should send them.
He says it could also be used to inform and time public education and enforcement campaigns around wildfire safety. The paper notes that most wildfires are started by people and as such are preventable. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
Researchers have identified a surprising crop that has potential as a future fuel source, cactus pears. It's a plant that grows in Colorado and could save a lot of water while helping power a hotter, drier Mountain West. Caleb Radel has more.
Scientists at the University of Nevada, Reno have received a $9 million grant from the U.S. Department of Energy to find out whether cactus pear can become a viable biofuel crop. Over the next 5 years, the team will test hundreds of cactus pear varieties at sites from Arizona to Florida, measuring how much biomass they produce under different rainfall conditions. They're also studying the plant's genetics and the microbes around its roots to better understand how it survives with so little water, says lead scientist John Cushman.
We want to scale up where we can plant this. And being a desert-adapted plant, it can be grown in places where other biofuel feedstocks cannot be grown.
If successful, Cushman says cactus pear could help farmers produce renewable fuels like ethanol and biodiesel while using significantly less water. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Radel.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, Sage Smiley, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.